So our deep dive into the book of James continues this week. We've got one more week. I mean, James is only five chapters, so I mean, we've gone pretty deep into the book of James, but it just can't go very long because it's just five chapters. But it's a book I've always appreciated because it's sort of filled with practical advice about what a Christian should be and what a Christian should look like. So today's sermon title, if you caught it, and I normally don't get very caught up in sermon titles, but the title is He Talking to Me? And the answer at one level is, of course he's talking to you. It's Scripture. And Scripture is the living, breathing Word of God. And as we crack open our Bible or pull it up on our cell phone, the Holy Spirit is working in us and on us as we read it. Because it's Holy Scripture, yes, James is talking to you. But I have to tell you, in this particular text, he may be speaking to you, but fortunately, he is not talking about you. He is talking about somebody else. Now, we'll talk some more about that as we move on. But there's a message for us in this. But in this particular instance, James is not talking about us. He's talking about others. And this really, I think, is a great example of, especially when you're studying Scripture, that understanding the context, who the author is, who they're writing to, what they're writing about is helpful. This is a good example of that, and you'll see that as we talk about that. So let's take a look at this chapter from the book of James. It's chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous one who does not resist you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, I read this text, and there's a part of me that just goes, ouch. Because we've talked about this several times before, but basically, if you have money in your checking account and you have food in your pantry, you're among the top 10% of wealthiest people in the world. In the world. And so there's a sense in which we are all rich. And so when I read that text, it's just kind of like a twist. And it hurts. And I think, is this me? And in this particular case, he's not speaking to us. I don't believe that we are particularly unrighteous. He is speaking to a group, an economic group that was there in Palestine at the time. And they were basically wealthy Jewish landowners. And sort of, they had actually, some of them gained this land by foreclosing on it from some of the poorer people. It was a culture of day laborers, basically. And so you had these wealthy people that had all of this land, and that's who James is talking to. Talking to these sort of unrighteous rich. So some scholars believe that this particular text is really directed at non-believers. The text that we're going to look at next week is one that sort of addresses believers. It's James is writing to those that believe. And you have to remember that this is back in the days when the church wasn't really all that well organized, and we were sort of like the crazy Jewish cousins that nobody wanted to talk about, that nobody really knew what to do with us at the family dinner tables and things. And so this is what's happening in this culture with this group of landowners. And in the first verse, James is really channeling the Old Testament prophets, basically saying, woe to you. Woe to you, because the day of the Lord is coming. And the word that we heard in our text, it says, you will weep and wail. The word that is translated here as wail is oftentimes, in other translations in the New Testament, translated as howl. Not like a wolf, but like in pain. Because the day of the Lord is coming. And so James is reminding us of sort of this Old Testament prophecy that the day of accountability, of judgment, is coming for you. He's making it clear that he does not bring good news to these unrighteous rich. I mean, in those days, there were sort of three forms of wealth. There was the wealth of like crops that you could amass, wheat, grapes, those sorts of things. And that came from owning land. So that was one form of wealth. Another form of wealth at the time was clothing. The third form of wealth was obviously precious metals, right? Gold, silver, coins, those sorts of things. And James is writing in this text in the present tense, as if the food that they have stored is already rotting, that the clothes that they have are currently being eaten by moths. And then he talks about your precious items are rusting. Now, the interesting thing about that is gold and silver doesn't really rust. But he's employing a literary vehicle here to talk about the contamination of their heart that is happening because they're laying up treasures of the world. They're not laying up treasures in heaven. In verse 5, he accuses these rich people of defrauding the people that did work for them. It was big in the Mosaic law that you were supposed to pay your day laborers, the people who worked in your fields, before sunset. Because the worker of those days, if they didn't get paid, likely they didn't eat. And so the Jewish law was big about you need to pay the wages before the sun has set so these people can go and eat and feed their family. And we read about this in non-canonical stuff about the writings of Josephus. He talks about how these landowners would not pay the laborers until 2 or 3 days after, I guess because they could earn some more interest on it. And so we have these unrighteous rich that are basically stepping on the backs of the poor. And then in verse 6, James accuses the rich of killing the righteous man who does not resist you. There are some scholars that look at that and say, they're laying the death of Jesus at the feet of these people. I'm not sure I buy that. I mean, it's not really anywhere. It's not a part of the New Testament that it's the death of Jesus is laid at the feet of a particular group. It was the Romans and the Jewish elite and a whole bunch of other people that made that happen. There are some scholars that believe that James is talking about himself. James, the brother of Jesus, is often attributed to be the writer of this, and he in the early church was known as James the Just. And so some scholars make the argument that this is James himself that he's talking about. And the third interpretation by scholars is that it's actually the poor that we're talking about. The very ones that these rich people are breaking their backs that those are the ones that this particular verse is talking about. I have to tell you, I hadn't figured it out. I think it could be all three or maybe even a fourth one. I don't really know exactly who this verse is talking about. But what I do know is I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like those rich people that are laying up treasures on earth. Whatever that meaning is, James has no good news for those people. And I don't want to be counted among them. These people were only concerned about things of this earth, things that brought them comfort and joy. They had no concern for their neighbor. While James is not talking about us, it is Holy Scripture, and he is talking to us. And this particular text is a very clear warning. Guard your hearts. Do not let your hearts become fond of the things of this world. Like our anthem said, lay up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. This is a cautionary tale reminding us that what the world has to offer us does not bring life. It brings death. And that we need to guard our hearts against the things of the world. And it's a daily battle, folks. I mean, you can't watch TV or even surf the news on the internet without getting ads that will tell you about you need this because you'll be smarter, sexier, better looking, your hair won't be gray, you'll get more hair. The world is clamoring at your heart every single day. And this text reminds us we need to guard our hearts. And there's also a lesson for us in this idea of these landowners not paying their laborers, not paying them properly. You know, that really speaks to me. I mean, as I was reading this text and preparing this sermon, it struck me that I'm a real capitalist. I want people to make money off of me. People from whom I buy goods and services, I want you to make a profit. Because it's good for you. It's what makes our country work. It's what makes our economy work. And I'm happy to pay a fair price for fair work. I mean, just last week, I had to put in a new fence. That's the last thing I wanted to do is put in a new fence with lumber prices what they are. 116 feet of fence. And this man came out with his crew and did a terrific job. He worked his fanny off. He worked for 3 days on this one fence. And when it came time to write him the check, I was so happy to do that. I really had a smile on my face as we wrote that check and gave it to him because he had done such a good job. And so I think this text reminds us, especially if we have small businesses, are we happy about paying people what they're due? I mean, when I get a good job done like this fence, I really am happy to pay. But again, this text is reminding us to not be among these unrighteous rich, to not lay up our treasures in things of the earth. Because it's really clear what James has to say about it. They have no value in the kingdom of God. It is only things that God values, that have value in the kingdom of God. The things of this earth, the things that Madison Avenue wants you to buy, have zero value in the kingdom of God. So, brothers and sisters, check your heart. Check your heart and tend it in such a way that there is no place for the things of the world to take root and grow in your heart. Because those things have no value in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would help us to guard our hearts, that you would send the Holy Spirit to guard them as well. That the things that we spend our time and our effort and our money on are things that are valued in the kingdom, that are valuable for you, that are valuable for your glory. Father, we ask that you would help us to be worthy servants of your grace. Help us to turn our back on these things of the world that call our name every single day. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, Amen.